Tomorrow night, September the 6th, at the National Concert Hall in Dublin, the RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra will launch its 2019-2020 season with a special tribute to one of Ireland's greatest composers and musical innovators. Sean Davey has had an extraordinarily varied career, from scoring for film and television to composing the music for the 2003 Special Olympics opening ceremony. Works like Gráinne Uaill, developed with singer Rita Conley, demonstrated his unique ability to blend musical traditions and disciplines, as did his 1980 masterwork, The Brendan Voyage, which remains one of the most enduring and significant works from any Irish composer, and marked a significant collaboration with Ilan Piper, Liam O'Flynn. The Brendan Voyage will be performed in full as part of tomorrow night's concert, featuring Piper Mark Redmond, who's with me in studio this evening, alongside Rita Conley and Sean Davey. Sean Davey, it's almost 40 years since the Brendan Voyage. Would you ever have counted that up and said...
No. It's fantastic. And actually, the great thing is that... David Brophy, who's conducting it, is still digging out new interpretations of different passages, and it's keeping it alive. And I'm certainly enjoying still sitting in on the sessions.
That's interesting that's the sign of a good piece of music, really, isn't it? That four, five, six, and whatever number of decades on, that a conductor comes to it and they find something new that even you, the composer, go, oh, I hadn't heard it that way before.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, everybody's music can be reinterpreted. And fortunately, we have Brophy, who's determined to dig out, as I say, new nuggets. And also, we have a wonderful new Piper to play it. So it's a new work in many ways. It's a fresh start in some ways. And it's exciting, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and I was actually just looking up the date there. It was March the 14th last year, I think, was the last time you were in here in this studio with me, along with Rita. In fact, you were here as well that night, Rita.
We were
remembering it was the day that Liam O'Flynn had died. And here we are, this concert paying a respect to him, certainly, in one of the pieces. And the concert is kind of a dedication to him. That's a very important aspect of this as well.
I think people will think of Liam a lot during this concert.
As will we.
Yeah.
It's very hard not to.
Yeah.
And, you know, no matter what you do, he was there. So it's every piece that he played on, even though Mark is brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's lovely working with Mark and somebody new. You are always reminded of Liam as well.
Yeah, of course, Mark, I was speaking to you earlier on, just before we came to air tonight, and you remembered, is it 2 years ago now, the concert, when Liam had just, his illness had just begun to affect
the point March where he couldn't 2017.
Play. Yeah. And just remind us of what you had to do for that particular concert.
Thrown in at the deep end. I think it was less than 2 weeks. David Brophy rang me up and said, can you do this? And straight away, I said, absolutely. It was like a dream come true. So for 2 weeks, everything else went out the window, and all I was doing was listening to the Brendan Voyage every single day, 24/7, and then practicing it. And because it was late in the day, I was afraid to kind of venture too far from what Liam would have done at the time. Yeah. So I based a lot of what I'd done that time on the recordings of Liam playing it, because I thought if I'd done something different, everyone would be sitting there saying, jeez, what's he doing? That's not... Yeah.
But then David Brophy started finding new things in it, so that gave you the imprimatur to do just that, does it?
Yeah.
So have you a sense this time that, and you know, without anything at all remotely disrespectful to Liam, but that you can move it in more towards an interpretation of your own?
I always look at what Liam done as an absolute solid foundation, and I'm never going to play it like he done it. It's just his is brilliant, you know, that's his interpretation of it. So there's a couple of things that I tend to do a small bit differently that, you know, I like to do. So especially in the slow airs, I think I milk it a small bit. Hope Sean doesn't mind, but
I will mind if you don't.
Oh dear,
I'm warned now.
Is it the slow air that you're going to play for us now?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Don't be going anywhere near the creamery in this performance, because I want Sean to stay here with us until 8 o'clock and not walk out. Saying, what's he doing to my lovely tune? So I'll tell you what. You go over and to help you not milk it, Sean can tell us a little bit. Which of the slow airs is it? I should have asked you. There's one big slow air in the middle of it. Which one of it is it?
Is it the theme or is it the lament?
We can do the theme. Whatever one you want.
Well, you tell us which one you're doing. Because I want Sean to maybe, before we hear it, maybe lead us into where this fits into the work and what. So which would you like to hear, Sean?
Oh, well, I love hearing the theme.
Yeah.
And the theme is a piece that Liam always had a complete mastery of. He played it as if he was a grandfather, the pendulum of a grandfather's clock. You know, it was that solidity and that majesty that he played the Brendan theme. And
So no pressure, Mark. So
yeah, I was just going to say, so that's all you have to do now, Mark, if you wouldn't mind. And I noticed that Sean's even turning around to watch you. So the theme from the Brendan voyage.
Once true.
Just once true.
Oh, Mark Redmond with the theme there from the Brendan Voyage, and that's ahead of tomorrow night's concert in the National Concert Hall, celebrating the music of Sean Davey, who's with me in studio this evening, along with Mark Redmond, and indeed with Rita Conley. Yeah, I think it's safe enough, Sean. There was no milking going on there.
It was beautifully played. Yeah. And lovely regulator work, you know, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's when we get to it. I was thinking, because I was listening to say double stops, and no, Sean, that's a different instrument. But the regulators are what kind of bring in those harmony notes.
Yes, exactly.
And really fill the piece out.
Mark will tell you about all that. There's another piece you play, you know, at the end of section six, the real Mike and his Mitch and his sound. And you're... He might even give you a taste of it, but you're doing something different, something new to me with the regulator chords.
It's one of the few sections in the entire suite where you can kind of, there's basically about a minute of just pipes, and you can kind of, it said pipe solo on the score, so I thought I'd throw in a few more regulators. And again, it's kind of based on what Liam done, but then there's a part where he kind of stopped playing, so I just thought I'd keep it going because, well, that's, if they stay in tune, I'll be able to do it. So, you know, that's sometimes you're at the mercy of this instrument. If they go out of tune, you simply can't play them, and you can't tune them on the spot. So if they're in tune tomorrow, I'll hop off them, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you speaking to me before, Sean, about that something that Liam had, because when the Brendan Voyage was first performed, the idea of Illan pipes and orchestra, it was practically unheard of. And there were two worlds coming together, two very different worlds coming together. And you described, I remember, the way Liam walked onto the stage and kind of made his mark and sat down, played his pipes and said, we're making music here together. Doesn't matter that we're from two different worlds.
I think everybody said that, to be fair. You know, there wasn't. I mean, actually, when we went in and sat down with the orchestra, when Liam went in, I didn't detect any hostility. I mean, you know, the orchestra were great. And it was like we were pushing against an open door in a way. I mean, I don't know for sure if... I mean, there was talk of Leo Ralsom having played Illan pipes with an AJ Potter arrangement at some stage, which I've never heard, but that would have predated the Brendan Voyage. Now, It was, it's true. It was, you know, it was practically unheard of, but maybe there'd been...
Well, certainly a full piece, which was essentially a piece of this size.
That's true, because it's a long piece and it's telling a long narrative and it's based on Severin's voyage, of course. So that's all part of it.
I was reading, and Rita might kind of tell us a little bit of the story that you added in on this, because there's a lovely touch to it, but there's also a kind of a family thing to it that I think is very touching as well. You're in there's a current edition of the RTÉ Guide. There's an interview with yourself and Sean. Right. And in fact, you talk about one of the last times you spoke with Liam O'Flynn, the question he asked you.
It was actually just a few days before he died. Mm. And I went in to see him. I didn't know it was my final goodbye, but realised it as soon as I went in. But he said to me, as I was about to go, he grabbed my hand and he said, "Is that man writing any music?" And I said, "No, Liam, he's not writing anything at the moment." And he said, "That's a terrible shame. Tell that man he has to write music." And I said, "Of course I will."
Do you remember Rita saying that to you then?
Yeah, Sean, it made a huge impression, of course. Particularly at that time.
What has happened?
And it stayed with me.
What had happened that had stopped you composing?
Well, the house had to be painted and...
come on.
I had to refence the garden.
If you were a politician, that would be a great deflection. but I know you will tell me that there's more...
It's perfectly true. I painted the house for a summer and I refenced the garden for a spring. I'd had a really busy 2015, 2016.
You were tired.
I suppose I was tired, and I think I was a bit depressed because our favourite dog had finished her life, and that dog used to lie on the floor in my studio.
This is a dog you had for 17 years.
17 years.
That's a long time to have a family pet. Yeah.
She was always there across the hearth, across the threshold.
Betsy.
And I found it too much, actually, to go back into the studio to write music. I just couldn't do it. Mm. So I moved room. I mean, I got that far. I moved back down to the basement, and Rita now makes beautiful quilts in my old studio.
Which is ridiculous, but there you go.
But, I found a year had gone past and I hadn't written anything. Mind you, nobody had asked me to write anything, but still, you know, it hadn't stopped me in the past because I often made myself write things. And then I found nearly another year had gone past. And I used to write myself pep talks and say, "Come on, you know, you remember how you used to feel and the joy you used to get from working." And it was really, really made a huge impression on me that when Rita told me what Liam had said.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it just sort of... Okay, boot up the backside. I can live with that. I'm getting back to work.
Yeah. So, had there been periods previously? I mean, because prolific composer. Let's face it. Over the period of what we're heading towards, 4 or 5 decades at this stage, had there been periods, you know, that you can when you look back now and say, "Oh yeah, there were times there when I was really having to crank myself up to even get something written down." Can you remember a period as bad as that last period that you've just come out of?
Not really, no.
I can't remember a period and we've been together for 33 years.
Yeah.
This was the longest period where he never had a period. He was so busy all the time.
Well, I did a lot of film music for about seven or 8 years, which took me away from writing concert music. And at the end of that, when that was done, I really, really wanted to write concert music. But I think I got to this point where I just couldn't anymore. I went to concerts and I heard other people writing the most gorgeous, brilliant music. And I thought, well, it's already being written by other people. What have I got to say?
And how do you feel? Because you touched on it, I think, in that RTÉ Guide interview as well. You touch on, you know, the type. Had you a feeling that somehow the type of music that you had written for the length of time you've been composing, that people weren't looking for that? People seemed to be looking for something else.
Well, inevitably, you know, new generations take over and new tastes take over. I don't really mind that.
Yeah.
And I also don't think it invalidates anything people in their 80th decade are doing. That's not the problem. The problem is self-belief. If you believe that your voice is important to use, then then you'll use it. And I went through a period where I thought my voice was not important. I actually have completely changed. I'm going to write the best music of my life.
And do you have a sense now that stuff is ready? Is it bursting to get out of you?
Yeah.
And maybe you need a fallow period for something to burst out of you later on.
I guess it happens. You know, and the thing about we're starting this concert with a piece which is dedicated to the memory of Liam. And I wrote it, of course, with Liam's voice in my mind. But if Mark hadn't, I sent him a tape of it, and if he hadn't encouraged me to actually set it down on paper, it would never have happened.
Well, I know that because the producer, Owen McGowan, had mentioned to me, she said, we might get a piece of that music. And I know you've brought it into you. Now, this is how you're going to open the concert tomorrow night. We're only going to hear a little bit of it, obviously, because the world premiere of the piece is tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's not a very good recording, but at least, you know, it would illustrate where we're starting from.
So there's a type of music that Liam, I think, a style of music that Liam was particularly fond of. What am I
looking for? It was called, you're absolutely right, Sean, it was called an Alborada, which is a Galician salute to the sunrise, played by pipers walking around a town at dawn. And he used to often open his concerts with an Alborada. And this new piece takes a kind of Alborada-type journey. It starts quite, as you'll hear, it starts quite somber and slow, and then gradually the sun comes up and you end up with the sunrise, and that's the purpose of the piece.
And there are all sorts of lovely parallels there to, you know, you coming back to writing after a fallow period, and also as a respect to Liam, who last time we were in, we were lamenting his loss.
Yes.
And here we are thinking of a sunrise rather than a sunset. I think there's a lovely there's a lovely quality to that. The section we're going to hear from the opening of the piece?
Very beginning, and it's only the second time it was ever played. So
right, well,
it'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah, well, nevertheless, it's amazing to get to hear it, even, you know, to share it with us in a state of rehearsal is a very generous act. And we'll hear Mark in the midst of this.
You'll hear distant pipes. He will be louder tomorrow. He was just I was standing in the hall with a little handheld Yoki. Yeah.
So. Oh, okay. With the handheld Yoki. Well, I'm glad you had the handheld Yoki with you. Let's have a listen then to this new piece, which we will hear in full, or people will hear in full in the National Concert Hall tomorrow night. A little section of the opening of Hymn to a Setting Sun, Almost the Liam O'Flynn, which will be the opening piece in tomorrow night's concert, the music of Sean Davey with the RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra, as performing tomorrow night as they were there in the background. And an orchestra with whom you're well familiar at this stage, obviously, Sean.
Yes, I always remember them on stage in Croke Park in 2003 and during the Special Olympics ceremony with all the sheet music getting blown up in the air all the way up to the top of the gantry in the wind. Of course, if they don't have sheet music, they can't play. They don't know what,
so they managed somehow to get over that particular problem.
Closed pegs became
the solution.
I was just saying, I'm personally really enjoying working with them. We've got many old friends in that orchestra and making friends with new people as well. It's great fun. It's really nice.
Okay, well, look, we've a lot more to talk about. We're going to take this up to the end of the programme tonight, but we have an ad break. Let's get that out of the way. And welcome back to Thursday Night's Arena. And in this part of the programme, we're celebrating the music of Sean Davey ahead of tomorrow night's concert with the RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra playing The Brendan Voyage, the world premiere of the little piece that we got, the piece that we got the little snippet of just before the break there, Hymn to a Setting Sun, Almost to Liam O'Flynn, several other pieces in there as well. Sean Davey is with me in studio this evening, as is Rita Connolly, and Mark Redmond, the Piper, is here too. And as you started, once we went into the ad break, the stories about the Special Olympics started to roll out. One of which was somebody standing on somebody's dress. The dress was yours, Rita.
It was. And the funny thing was, while we were backstage, Ronan Tynan, who was singing May We Have Never Have to Say Goodbye with me, had been telling me about how, because, you know, he's his legs from the knees down are wooden or whatever the equivalent is now, he said, I can't feel, you know, if I'm standing on something, I can't feel it, you know. And he said, I once stood on a, you know, a diva's dress in the middle of an opera and the whole back of her dress came off, you know, as she was walking down the stairs. And at which point I lifted up, I had been given this ridiculous train by the designer of the whole thing. So I lifted up my train just in case, you know. And we were about to go on stage and they said, okay, okay, now. And I turned to Ronan and I said, okay, Ronan. And he goes, absolutely. So I dropped the dress, started to walk, and the next thing I went flying up in the air.
Feet he was
up
standing in the air. On it.
He had stood on my train and I went absolutely flying and I was lying on my back thinking, oh my God. And he goes, oh jeez, I'm terrible. Sorry, Rita. And he leaned forward to try and lift me up and stood on the dress with the other foot. And I eventually had to say, Ronan, would you get off the bloody dress?
You needed some of those clothes pegs, obviously, that the orchestra had used to pin down the music.
So I literally had to pick myself up, dust myself off and, you know, but get out there.
Straight onto stage, huh?
Oh, it was straight on. I mean, we were literally on our way onto the stage, you know? Yeah.
7,000 athletes, 80,000, I think, people, in the crowd the day. Was that the biggest? Is that the biggest crowd for which your music has been played at one time, Sean?
I think it was. Yeah.
What are your memories of that time apart from?
Oh, I thought it was very moving. The whole thing. I remember. I mean, writing the May We Never Have to Say Goodbye. I was really conscious of the short lifespan of some of those athletes and how their parents would be feeling, and what parents of special needs athletes have to contend with emotionally, and I wanted to write something that was soothing and beautiful and strong, you know. But I remember standing at the side of the stage, because of course by that stage my job was done. I was just an onlooker, really, and I was standing at the side of the stage as the procession of athletes were coming in from the side. This isn't a funny story. Mm. So one country's athletes were queuing, and just it was a lot of traffic management going on. And one of the chaps had an epileptic fit, fell down on the ground. He was attended to and he was helped back on his feet. The gates opened and in he walked with everybody else.
Wow.
And I just thought, the determination it took to get here from wherever they were, Ethiopia or somewhere like that. And that was a sample of the athletes who went in, the 7,000 who then went in and sat. And I thought, what an operation this is.
Yeah, and hardly surprising then that this anthem, I want to listen to a bit of it because it fits in perfectly with the nature of the story that you've just told. is. I was saying, Sean, Davey, as we were listening to that, there's such a simplicity to it. That, I think, is what its strength is. It's very unfussy in its composition. I asked you, did you recognise where the recording came from? And you said, oh, yeah, I remember that exact recording. The RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra again?
Yes, on stage in the National Concert Hall, followed by seven Dublin choirs coming in onto the stage and all around the hall, as far as I remember. I mean, it was a massive recording. There were a lot of grey hairs after that recording, but it was inspirational. It was such fun. But you know, anytime you work with a big orchestra and it's a big affair, it's great fun.
Yeah, because I mean, in some ways, the magic of that is you hear the orchestra, you hear the choirs, and you just think, wow, they're all together. But in fact, it was all separately and then knitted.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. On that occasion, yes, but we would have done it all together.
Of course,
You know, for example, when we did 2016, that was recorded in the Helix, and the orchestra were on the floor in front of the stage. The kids were on the stage. Then all the choirs were, you know, in the audience. Basically, that was very memorable too. You know, these big things are. It takes a lot of people to organize them, and sometimes it comes off.
Yeah, and then, as well as those big things, not that this was a smaller thing, but then there was also compositions like this.
Ripples in the water of the rock pool sun, ripples in the water of the rock pool sun, ripples in the water of the rock pool sun, and the boats are in full winter. Donald and Coggy, will you marry me? Donald and Coggy, will you marry me? Donald and Coggy, will you marry me? Will I carry your three children? Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes, rolling into Connemara. Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes, rolling into Connemara.
Yeah, the rock and roll version you were saying, or the rock band version you were saying there. That's from one of your albums, Rita.
That was from one of my albums, yeah. That was. We decided to give it a jizzed up version. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but with hindsight, it wasn't really a good idea. Lovely musicians and everything, but really, the original is the best.
And the original is what we'll be getting tomorrow night.
It is. You'll be getting the original plus three of our five children singing with us.
So is this the first time to have that number of the family on stage with you?
In the concert hall, yes. Yeah. We have started to do the very odd gig as a family kind of band. It's my three children, but because Sean's children are older and doing their own thing, as you probably know, Kathy is her own huge career and stuff. But my son has just graduated from university in ethnomusicology, and my daughter is about to go back and do music for video games, and my other daughter's a beautiful singer. They're all beautiful singers, so I thought, well, why don't we try this and see what it's like, you know, singing with the kids. And they all play musical instruments as well. So when we do a smaller gig, we all play the instruments ourselves.
All right. Well, I want to finish with a bit of the jig, so I'm going to get it hidden right now, and then I'm going to go a little bit over time. John Creedon, I'm sure, won't mind. weather come out a little bit around the 8 o'clock mark. That was Brendan Voyage, obviously the jig there, Water Under the Keel. Mark Redmond, that was from that 2017 concert. You'd be happy if it goes that way for you tomorrow night, Mark.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, listen, congratulations on all the success. Look forward to 4 decades' time sitting and have a longer conversation, even perhaps.
A longer conversation, maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I can't believe that the half hour has gone that quickly. Yeah, great to speak with all three of you. Sean Davey, Rita Conley and Mark Redmond with us this evening. That concert tomorrow night in the National Concert Hall sold out, but you can hear the concert live on RTE Lyric FM. It starts at 7:30. Don't know if I should be telling you that. You can go over to it at 8 o'clock, perhaps, or listen back to it. But the RTE National Symphony Orchestra will be performing under the baton of David Brophy, the music of Sean Davey. Been a joy to celebrate that with you this evening here on Arena.